My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this on Saturday, April 16th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give the show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival, support the show, $3 a month, and you also get hours and hours and hours of bonus content. Thank you to every last one of the subscribers. I really appreciate you. You guys keep the show going, and I really appreciate you because I enjoy doing it. Sorry, the rest of the internet. This is episode 568. There's no guest. It's just me recording this remotely from Prince George's County, Maryland. Happy Easter to everyone. Happy Pesach, Passover. Everybody celebrating Ramadan. Hope you all are having a good time with your loved ones and the people you call family. So, recording this in the basement of where I grew up. I got here early this morning, came down. Traffic was pretty good. Nice trip, nice safe trip. When you last heard from me, I was in beautiful upstate New York, in Utica to be exact. I had did 4 shows. When on the last episode, I had just done 2. And the second show didn't go that well, so I retooled some stuff, went back to the old notes app on my phone, listened to some old sets, added some stuff, and I fucking destroyed, bro. I had added 20 minutes that I hadn't done in a while, re-listened to it, put it back. I was like, these people don't know who I am. I can do anything I want to do on stage. And I can have a good time. I was trying to rework some old stuff the first night. And I think I started the second show off with anti-Trump stuff. So I think I might have lost most of the half of the very small crowd that was there on the late show. But I gave them a show. And that's when I said, you know, I need to go back and retool some shit. And I did. And the last 2 shows were pretty freaking awesome, and ended up having the set of my life, one of the sets of my life, probably one of the best sets I ever had as far as being a headliner is concerned in my brief career of headlining. And I was walking and got off stage, hearing the applause was not even dying down yet, and I tripped over some chairs and I skinned my right knee and hurt my left knee, and I'm still kind of sore. I just fucking ate it, and it was so embarrassing. It was the worst. Thank God the cute waitress that was there the night before was not there, and that would have been even worse. But I did get 2 fans out of the whole night. And they follow me on Instagram, and that some of it still smarts a little bit, as they say, still kind of sore in those knees. Yeah. Wow. I was not built to play football, even though I'm a big guy. Maybe like the joke about my being a failed running back. It's very true. Not sure if I could take those bruisings, those beatings that those dudes take every week in, week out, and in practice. But overall, I had a great time. And that was, you know, I think I may have said this last week, but that was my first official weekend headlining shows. Like, I'd headlined before, obviously doing one-nighters here and there all around the tri-state area and whatnot. But like, that was my first weekend. So that was a really cool milestone for me. And I was 3 for 4. That's not bad. You can get in the Hall of Fame with numbers like that, you know, on a consistent basis. You know, if I were to do that over the span of my career, you know, three out of four or 5 out of 6, or, you know, having one show that was ass per weekend. It's usually the Friday late show, but I was able to put some stuff together and have a great weekend. So that was pretty freaking awesome. And I didn't mention this, you know, I did mention that I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, but shout out to the non-chain movie theaters, because it seems like they consistently have the best popcorn ever. And I'm normally not a popcorn guy. Normally for me, it's M&Ms and a water. But I said, you know what? I want a popcorn. I had a big breakfast, and it was like maybe around 3 o'clock where I went to the movies. And I was like, I had a small popcorn, but their sizes are pretty big. It was about the size of a medium anyway. And I said, oh yeah, could you put butter in there? And he did. And I just said, oh, did you remember to put butter in when he got my order? He's like, yeah, I put some in the middle and on the top. And I was like, oh shit, I never heard that before. I think that is a thing, but this dude knew what the fuck he was doing. And he that popcorn was good. That was some good ass popcorn, almost as good as probably as good or possibly better than the popcorn that they have at the, there's not that many of them now, the Bowtie Cinema. Do they even have that anymore? The pandemic took most of them away. Bowtie Cinemas. I think they still do. Well, because I'm in Maryland, they have one in Annapolis, and they have one in Reston, Virginia, and I think they might have some in Connecticut also. But yeah, those theaters, like relatively small, like I think they, I don't know how long ago they bought out like some of these old movie houses. So quite a few of them used to be in Jersey, and really good popcorn. The place where I saw The Worst Person in the World, Claridge, it's called the Claridge Cinemas now, but it used to be called, it was the Bowtie Claridge, and the Montclair Film Center bought them out, and they still have good popcorn, so that was good. But every now and then I like to go. So yeah, they still have a few left. Let me see. So it looks like Colorado, Connecticut, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, and Virginia. Yeah, so they still have some. There's still some in Jersey? The Warner in Ridgewood. I know where that is. And that's it. Wow, man. There used to be at least 2 or 3 more. The pandemic just really fucked shit up, man. There used to be one near my job. There's one in Schenectady. I've been to that one. In Schenectady, New York. And there's one in Saratoga Springs. I've been to Saratoga Springs, but have not been to that movie theater. Yeah, man, Connecticut. So Connecticut's got, they've got more. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I've been to the one in, maybe, I don't know. I don't remember. Bridgeport or Stamford, but I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, that was good. I don't think I mentioned that experience. That was a cool I just like that. And the tickets were cheap. I think the tickets were like 10 or 11 bucks. And it wasn't bad. And the movie was great. Stadium seating and all that good stuff. Oh, you might have a guest. We might have a guest next week. Uh-oh, guys. So aren't you guys lucky? I just got a text from somebody you know and love. Oh, man. So I've been really busy the past few months, just driving back and forth from Maryland and New Jersey, and then like traveling, doing shows, getting to do shows at the Borgata earlier this month, and then being in Utica traveling. So that was good. I've just been driving a lot. I'm not going to say that. I'll talk about that another time. But yeah, so I've just been super busy. Have not... I had a fun week, though. Got to see Rod, the homie Rod, again. I don't know, he posted that on social media. That was fun. We went to this place. If you're in New York City, if you find yourself in New York City, I know some of the places that I go. Like I'm saying, like if you find yourself in Utica, New York, if you're passing through or something like that, you hear me say these like little places, but some of these little towns, I don't know, you might be in New Jersey, you might be in what some of these places, but if you find yourself in New York City, which a lot of you probably will in your travels, there's a place called Maison Pickle, and I think it's on in the 80s, it's on Upper West Side around 84th Street, and it's just this nice cafe. That was my second time going. My first with one of my homegirls, and the second was with Rod, and it's great. Like I wanted to go there exclusively for their patty melt, and because that's what I had the first time I was there. And I don't want to get, I can kind of get into like my old man thing, or just like, I don't know if that's an old man thing or it's just like a thing where it's just like you go to a place specifically for the one thing, and that's not always that great when you do that, but man, Maison Pickle is fantastic. They have a great patty melt, and they had like chicken and waffles, and we had like, I think Rod had chicken and waffles, I had the patty melt, there was like, and we got appetizers. So good. I highly recommend it. It was good, and it was just good to see Rod. He's doing his thing on Game Theory, really killing it in the writer's room there, and doing a lot of cool things. It's really inspiring and also very cool that he's in. I think it would be a travesty if that show doesn't get picked up. I think it's going to get picked up because there's nothing on TV like that. There's nobody with Bo's perspective on sports, and it's just a good show. It's a show that's gotten better and better every week, and it's just in a good groove, and it's great to hit, because I just find myself being really disillusioned by sports. And I think when you get to a certain age, I guess some people, and it's not like I see, it's hard when you see the Matrix and things, it's a little harder to enjoy it, but I'm not gonna act like I'm super righteous or anything, because I still watch the NFL, I still buy Madden, even though I don't play it. you just can't kind of get disillusioned, especially college sports. But I'm glad these players are now getting money for their image and likenesses, and they're doing their branding and stuff like that. I know I see it a lot with women's basketball, and just because I've been following Paige Beckers and AZ Fudd and those girls, because you kind of see that more on their end, because that's who I follow. So I don't know how well it's working with other kids and other sports, but it is a cool thing. So I've just kind of been just disenchanted with sports for quite some time. Like the playoffs are on now, and it's just kind of like, it's kind of interesting just the story, like in the people that I find myself listening to, and I've been listening to Bo for years now, and so you know I kind of catch stuff on YouTube, but overall. And then I like the homies on the Firestar. I liked hearing what they say. There's certain people, a certain group of people that I like listening to, but I just don't find myself. If you say, oh, here's a game or here's a good movie, I'm most likely going to go see a movie or check out a movie before I sit down and watch a game. But overall, like, I just kind of been disenchanted with sports. And Bo is a person who sees that the emperor has no clothes. So it's really good to get his perspective on things. And the show is funny. So that it's great. So I hope Game Theory gets picked up, and I don't see why it can't be a show that's on for more than 6 episodes. I don't know how they do seasons on HBO, but if it's something like John Oliver or something that they maybe do 10 or 12 episodes, they take a break and then come back. I don't see why that show can't be that way, but I'm just a guy spewing stuff into a microphone, sharing my thoughts and ideas into a mic. So I don't know how that all works, but I'm rooting for it and I'm enjoying it. And hopefully I can be in the audience at one point. I tried to do it a few weeks ago by doing it online, but I didn't. Oh, excuse me. Gosh, getting tired, getting old. Tiredness is catching up to me. But didn't get a chance they never hit me back. So it goes. And that same day they had that Brooklyn shooter that shot up that subway and gassed the subway, and thankfully they got him. Just another case of it just seems like a dude being with mental health issues being failed by the system. Not to take any blame away from him, even though it was a horrible thing, but I read this article in the New Yorker that said he was in a facility in New Jersey, and then that facility was trying to like not take the blame or something. They were trying to say, hey, we didn't, you know. But obviously the blame falls on that guy, man. And it's thankfully nobody got seriously injured, nobody died. Hopefully everybody that was involved has a quick recovery and can just get on with their lives. But it just sucks, man. It's just the way that people have been. COVID's affected things in a lot of ways. And I don't think we'll completely know how COVID has affected people, not necessarily just with the, not only with sickness and death, but how it's affected society. We won't know for quite some time. Really a horrible thing, but on the bright side, no one died. And I hope it seems like folks will be able to recover and try to put the pieces back together. But that's just a horrible thing. And then I was thinking, like, I told my mom, I was talking to my mother that day, and I said, yeah, I'm going to meet my friend in the city. You're going into the city? Are you crazy? You know, it wasn't in Manhattan. And it was in Brooklyn. And, you know, my parents used to, my dad, I guess, did a lot. Both of them would be like, oh, there's this something, a bridge got flooded in New Jersey. And they thought it was near me, you know, but it wasn't. And it would just be somewhere. Oh, yeah, that's like a 200 miles south of me, mom, 200 miles south of me, dad, or whatever. But there was one time when I was in Chicago, that there was a shooting in this office building where I worked at. And my parents didn't call or didn't ask me where I was. But my best friend since first grade did. There was this guy, this older guy, kind of like this, not exactly like this situation, but a a black dude that was up there in years, probably in his 50s. He went into this patent office of some kind in this building where I worked at and killed a couple people. And they had the SWAT team come in the building, and they eventually ended up killing the guy. And we could see people coming out on stretchers, and we're looking at the news in the office, and they were saying, yeah, everybody's evacuated from the building. And we was like, no, they not, because we still here. And and my homie from first grade, shout out to my man Q, he hit me on my cell, and he was like, yo, is that your? I was like, yeah, dog. And he was like, oh, shit. I don't know if I told my parents. I might have told them. I feel like I did after the fact. And I went home, and then I think I had a play that day. I think I was doing that play that I was telling you guys about, Blue Orange, one of my Al Bundy moments of Chicago theater. And that was a show. I didn't mention this 2 weeks ago. I forgot to mention, I found out about that play, and I wanted to do it because I believe Chiwetel Ejiofor originated that role, if I'm not mistaken, or I feel like he originated that role, but I remember I thought that was cool because he did it, and I wanted to do it because he did it. And I believe, who's the guy that did Moonlight? Terrell, who wrote Moonlight? Terrell Alan McCraney. Terrell Alvin McCraney. I was right. I think he did a production in Chicago that I didn't see. I think he, when they first did it, a few years prior to me to doing it in 07, he did it in Chicago, I think. And so it was a big deal. It's almost like, it's not a rite of passage of black actors, but I think to a certain degree it's known as a meaty role for young black actors, like in your mid to late 20s, if you get a chance to do that role. And I think that was why I wanted to do it. And I was just talking about with reference to like doing things and being afraid of it. That was a big deal for me, doing that part. But Chiwetel was one of the main reasons I wanted to do it, because I think he's a great actor. Still is, you know, not like that I thought he was great back then. He is a great actor, and I wanted to do it because he did it, and I wanted to be cool and great like Chiwetel. Yeah, so I don't think I mentioned that when I mentioned that play a couple weeks back. But yeah, that was a wild Friday afternoon. But it's so funny that the time, because I was telling Rod this, like, it was so funny at the time, like, and everybody goes, if you have family members or parents that really love you, and they'd be like, somebody farted in New York, you gotta watch yourself. If somebody did something, if something happened, they think it's directly, you know, it's directly like affecting you. And I guess that's why Facebook has that marked safe feature or whatever, so people don't worry about you, you know, the check-ins. But the one time they didn't check in with me was the time that it was some shit going down in Chicago. I forgot what the name of that building was. I would look it up, but I didn't know that I was going to really talk about that. But yeah, this week's been pretty good. Been pretty busy. Just, I hadn't played any video games for quite some time. Just been off and on. I think that I talked about that game, Tunic, on my laptop that I bought for Mac. And, this is like a Zelda-like video game where you're this anthropomorphic fox, and you have a sword, and you fight these little monsters and stuff. It's kind of like Zelda. It looks really great, and kind of like a top-down thing. That's fun. I only played that for about an hour while I was in Atlantic City, and I played some more Horizon Forbidden West last night. Man, that game is so good. Like, it's, I think IGN or someone ranked that as like the 9th best role-playing game. It's very good. You can get caught up in those stories. The side quests are like episodes. Like, it's like these sequences that could just be like an episode on a show or something, where it's like 45 minutes to an hour where you're going, and it's a really rich side quest that's very meaty. It's not like just some bullshit where you go fetch something, you can get your skill points and all that stuff up. And it's one of those games where you can just find yourself playing for hours on end. So it's like I kind of do it when I don't have anything to do and I don't have any like deadlines to meet, because I was playing that shit and I was just like, yeah, you can get really, I said, oh, I'm just going to play for a little bit. Then 3 hours later, you're just like, oh shit. Okay. I'm going to read a couple of, comments from the non-freeloaders from Patreon. Shout out to Ariel. She hit me up a couple days ago. And this is to episode 563 on Patreon. And I guess I was probably talking about video games. And she writes, I wouldn't say I'm a gamer, but I do play some games. I can't do scary games, though. The Last of Us has been sitting on my PS4 since they gave it away for free on PS Plus like 2 years ago. The last games I played were Detroit Become Human and Persona 5. And now I evangelize for Persona 5 like you do for The Last of Us, LOL. If you haven't played it yet, you need to. It's got a great jazz soundtrack you can listen to on its own. I wrote back, I've heard good things about Persona 5, but that to me seems more like a turn-based role-playing game. And those aren't really my thing, but I've heard... I understand you being an evangelist for it. Let's put it that way. I totally get it, because a lot of people do love that game, and it's a very popular game. Because you're not into scary games, I don't think maybe The Last of Us wouldn't be for you. I don't think it's that scary. I think it gets scary maybe when you start. Part two can get scary at moments, but I don't think it would. I don't know. I think for the story, I think it's a really compelling story. And I'm not the, I wouldn't say that I'm, as far as genres are concerned, I mean, I watch everything when it comes to movies, but I don't mind horror. Like, I just saw that movie X. It's kind of gory. They do call The Last of Us, that series, is a survival horror game. I don't think it would be as crazy as what's the game? The Evil Within. I think that was a series that was pretty wild. I haven't played it though. I think shout out to the homie Fonte. One of the first games I saw being played was that one, because he showed me that game when the first time he was on the pod. But The Last of Us, there are elements that are scary, but it's not a shit yourself type game. There's some encounters that are pretty. Like, once you get, you, if you die a few times, then you won't really be that freaked out. But there's certain moments, especially in part two, where it's like, yeah, this is kind of scary. There's moments that are intense. I'm not going to lie to you. Detroit Become Human, I thought it's a terrific game. I think, well, you played it already and you beat it, I think. Yeah, I think she did. The last game she played. Yeah. Detroit Become Human's pretty great. I would recommend, if you haven't, and I think I'm recommended in the comment, Beyond Two Souls is a supernatural game. That's what the artist formerly known as Ellen Page, now Elliot Page, where they were in that game, and that was a good game that I believe is from the same studio, Quantic Dream, if I'm not mistaken. That's like one of those like interactive type games, and you can control the character and stuff too, but it's kind of interactive and Until Dawn's like that, but again, that's more of a horror movie. I would recommend Beyond Two Souls if you can get a hold of that. Maybe you can get a hold of that digitally. Inside is also a good one. I recommend it to people. Yeah. And then so she also wrote on another episode. I think that episode I was talking about gaming, and I was talking about Atlanta, how Atlanta gets, I said that's that episode's title, Atlanta Gets It Right. Just talking about how they deal with, well, basically Donald Glover said the three slaps and I'm assuming the big payback were black fairy tales. And there's certain things that they really get right that other artists, other black artists seem to lose sight of when it comes to dealing with black trauma, if you will. There's a certain out that they give you. I think that like Jordan Peele and Donald Glover get it right, especially in their bigger films, like especially with Jordan Peele with Get Out and Donald Glover with these and his crew with Atlanta and these especially with Three Slaps. And that I just didn't see with a film, even though it's a different medium, a film like Master that Randolph and I talked about. But that's over on Patreon. And then I did another episode where I did Letterboxd a couple. This would have been from episode 558. She writes, rookie mistake. Sonic is only good for the drinks and shakes. You know, Ariel, I like the burgers there. When they do it right, it's good. And I, you know, I wrote back, I said, you know, I like the burgers, but sometimes it's up to who's making them. It depends on the person in the store in that day making the burgers. If they, it just depends. But you know, those places are supposed to relatively taste the same. But I've had some Sonic where it was just on point, just like so official. And those times have mainly been in the South, like in Richmond. There used to be one in Richmond when it was kind of new, when it was, I guess it was at least new to the South and maybe like the, I want to say mid 90s. It had to be before I graduated high school, because I remember my parents and I would stop there. My dad would get the Coney. I think my mom would get like a chicken sandwich or something, or maybe she'd get a hot dog too. Mom's not a big fast food person. And yeah, but there was one time, one of the better moments, one of the best, one of the cool, most fun moments of recent memory with my mom, just my mom, dad, and me. We were having a good time. I think we were coming back from North Carolina. We were coming back from a family reunion. This was in 2016, back when we thought Hillary would win. And we stopped at a Sonic in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And it was so good. It was so good. Like the burger, you know, it was just, it was incredible. There's some places where it's just hit or miss at some places. And then you get excited for these things. Like, oh, like, you know, I'm going to go, like, you know how you have it in your head that you want to go to a place, whether it's your favorite. And it could be your favorite chain restaurant. It could be your favorite spot that's like a Greasy Spoon, your favorite spot that you like to go to, your favorite carryout spot. And it's just underwhelming. And I've had those times where it's just like, man, I could have went somewhere else. I had it yesterday, as a matter of fact. There's this taco place that opened up, and I found out about it on this place called, the site called Boozy Burbs, and they tell you all the like cool restaurants and openings from all these, like a blog where you find these. I've talked about it a bunch of times. You find out like what restaurant opened in this town and blah, blah, blah. You can go there. And there was this taco spot. And one of my coworkers, I love her to death. She said, oh, Chris. I was like, have you been? She said, oh my God. My family and I went there and it was great. I loved it. And she'll tell you if it's whack. Like, she's the type of person that, you know, will tell you if it's whack. And she had a good, and it was good. I was like, okay, I'm gonna check it out. And this was, she told me about 2 weeks ago or something. And I go there yesterday, and I don't think I'll ever go back. It was not, I don't think I've ever had, it could be one of two things. One, it could have just been a bad day, but I've never had, wow, it was like bad Mexican food made by Mexican people. It was bad. It just was not good. And the people that were there, they were loving it. Maybe it was something, I don't know what that was. Maybe it's because it's, and then I think maybe are they doing something like mission style burritos and stuff, or, but I've had mission style burritos in the mission area of San Francisco and they weren't like that. And it was just like, it was so, it just had no flavor. It was so anticlimactic. And I did buy a taco too, just to try it. And I was just underwhelmed. It was just, it's hard to find good Mexican food, man. I was not impressed. Have not had that really any good Mexican food since my place in front of the jail in Hackensack moved. Now they moved down to another town, not far from Giant Stadium. I've told you about this. Just was not impressed. I doubt that I'll go back. There was a burger place that I went to last summer that, you know, it looked good and it looked appealing, but it was just dry burgers, man. It's not, if you can make that shit at home, it's just like, no, I just was not, I was not feeling it at all. And that, it was disappointing because that was, I tipped, so it was like $18 for like a burrito and a taco. And it just depends on the person. Now, this morning, today, early, like late morning, I stopped and got my mom and I some food from Checkers. At a specific Checkers that was, shit, the one in off Allentown Road, if y'all from PG, that was good. It was on point. The fries were good. The burger was good. My mom, I got her a chicken sandwich. She said it was good. It just, sometimes it just depends on who's in the kitchen. But yeah, I'm a big black dude, Ariel. I'm not a rookie when it comes to this fast food stuff, but a lot of people do. Now, I think the consensus is that a lot of people do go to Sonic for those drinks, the drinks and the shakes. I want to go. I haven't been to Fuddruckers in a bit, so I want to go back to Fuddruckers. Hopefully I can go back within the next couple of weeks, because Fuddruckers is consistently good, but it's just kind of out of the way. It's like 30 miles away from me. And you kind of got to go on a special day, it's like a special occasion type thing. I don't know, but it was, but that, thank you, Ariel, for that. Yeah, I think maybe Sonic came up because I think I was working on, I was coming down and I wanted to get something to eat for me and my mom. And the Sonic was like, I couldn't tell if it was open or not because they had cones around, but it was time for them to be open. And looked like there was a worker there, and the worker was kind of like staring me down, like, don't come here. And I was like, all right, I won't. Yeah, it was, that was kind of weird. I think that's why she made the Sonic comment, but or it might've been where I was down shopping and I stopped at a Sonic in Waldorf, I think. I don't know if that's the episode, but I did go shopping and I was like, oh, Sonic, I haven't been there in a minute. And it was just like anticlimactic. It's been like that for a lot, like McDonald's or some of these places. And you say, Chris, don't fucking eat at these fast food places. But sometimes when you're out, you kind of don't have not say that you do have a choice, but if you just kind of in the mood for a burger. I mean, I went to this place that was in town in Utica. I'm not going to name the place, but because it wasn't very good. And it was just like, this is just, you want to try and support these places, but how do you mess up a burger? I guess if you don't season it, it's not. There's been a couple of burger places that I was excited about, and it looks good on Instagram, and then you go there, it's just like, ooh. So, all right. I'm going to talk about some TV and some Muzak, and then I think that'll be it, folks. So there's a new series on HBO Max that I started watching called Tokyo Vice with Ansel Elgort and let me see. I think it's Ken Watanabe. Yes, I was right. Ansel Elgort and Ken Watanabe. And Jake Adelstein, an American journalist, plugs into the Tokyo Vice police squad and descends into the neon underbelly of Tokyo. Ansel Elgort plays Jake Adelstein, and it's based on a true story from Jake Adelstein. And it's good. At first, I was like, what is this? This white boy getting all in, knowing Japanese better than Japanese people. It was like another version of like The Last Samurai or something. And I was like, what the fuck? But it really happened. And this dude was really dedicated to learning the language and immersing himself in the culture. So I was like, I can't be too mad at it. But I kind of side-eyed the first 20 minutes of it. And then I just kind of looked and said, like, oh, it's a dude that really did this. And I was like, all right, a little bit. But some of his counterparts give him shit. Like, his boss gives him shit. So I finished episode 3, and I'm like maybe a quarter of the way through episode 4. It's good so far. I really like Michael Mann's work. Very immersive and dense when it comes to just the whole aesthetic of he's got really good of like Michael Mann's really good at putting the viewer in the world of the story that's unfolding. It's very dense and very immersive. It's a, like, I know I say that about Horizon Forbidden West, but it's a very, you get really locked into the story and the characters, and it's good. I like Ansel Elgort. He's good in this. He was most recently in West Side Story. He was in The Finch. What is that movie that I saw? I think only The Goldfinch, that was based on the novel that won a lot of awards, but the movie didn't do well. Me and one of my buddies, me and my homie, shout out to comedian Ala Patel. We hung out, we watched that movie and hung out. And it was a fun time hanging with him. The movie was, it was all right. What has he been in? Paper Towns, let's see, Men, Women, and Children, Fault in Our Stars, Baby Driver. He's Baby Driver. Yeah. Yeah, I like him. He was in Divergent series. He's been in quite a few things. He's just kind of now starting. But yeah, I do like that. I'm a Michael Mann fan. I've talked about how much I love Collateral so much, and very understated Jamie Foxx performance in Collateral. Let's see. What else, guys? Atlanta. I'm enjoying it this year. I really, you know, I said last week is kind of like the show is like, look at these white people. I think they continue to do that. I'm enjoying like the standalone type episodes, but the main thing that draws me to that show are the four leads. So I want to see more of that. I like seeing the story unfold. Cancer Attack, the latest episode, really good. Sox is the cancer that needs to be cut out of that group, because he does not care about Al or Earn. He doesn't care about those dudes. And not a fan of that dude. Very despicable thing he did, but just very interesting and nuanced. It's just a very interesting, nuanced show. It's really good. I hope they continue to stick with the main four. Want to know what's going on with my girl Zazie. What's her name? Is it Val? Is it V? Atlanta. Is it? Oh, Van. I called her Val. Van, Darius, Al, and Earn. I care about them. I want to know what's going on with them. I want to see those stories. But I think some of the writers and people that I listened to were saying that probably because of COVID and because they've grown to be such big stars is one of the reasons why they kind of had to do those interesting standalones. But I don't know. I don't know why. There could be other reasons, too. But so it goes, man. I've just been enjoying what they put out. And it seems like, you know, Donald Glover and company have the freedom to do whatever they want. So I'm just kind of at the point with that's what they wanted to show us. I like to take it in and try to interpret it and see what stuff means and try to process it that way and also enjoy it. But you got to think, like, if that's what they wanted to do, let's see it and let's try to take it apart in a fun way, not like take it apart and like, this is what they did wrong. This is mean. This is blah, blah, blah. He doesn't like black women. I mean, just like take it apart and like just analyze it and have fun with it and all that stuff. That's what I mean. Let's do some Muzak. I want to talk about a little bit of music since I've been listening to some. The new Sid album, it is called Broken Hearts Club. Am I right about that? See, now I'm looking at her catalog. I thought it was. Yes, it is. Broken Hearts Club came out last week. It came out really good. I mean, she is so talented. Like, the internet is a great band. I really like that. And it's just one of those things where whenever I hear, and the next artist is, I feel the same way. But with her more, because I started out as a dude that really, was more drawn to like R&B and soul music. Like, she's really good and she's got like a amazing falsetto. She's got like a great falsetto, just kind of underrated, I guess, in the sea of all these artists. And she's very kind of, it doesn't seem like she's out there like that. She just like does her music and puts it out and that's kind of it. You don't see her. I should just follow her on Instagram. Maybe I should just do that to kind of know, because I didn't know this was out until I saw one of those blurbs on, I think it was a blurb from OK Player. They show you like the notable black artists that have projects out, like just artists that, or just any artist that has stuff out. But I was attracted to this. I was like, oh, okay. And then she had something out in 2017 that I don't think I was aware of. Finn? Yeah, I was aware of that in 2017. I'm looking at the cover. Yeah, I knew about that. I need to revisit her stuff, man, because she's really good. She's really good. But this album is good. She's got a great voice. There's a record. There's a record that she has with. There's a record that she has with. Oh my God. Hold on. Kalani called Out Loud. Very sensual out record. And I was driving to work. I was like, oh wow. It's like at like 6:15 in the morning. I'm like, well, okay, do I need to pull over? That's a steamy record. She's got some good, she's just really, really talented, really underrated. And if you just like, she just, her, the whole album is just like in this really nice pocket. It's just a solid album, Broken Hearts Club. Yeah, and I got to go back and listen to her shit, man. Finn, I remember that. I remember liking every time I listen to her stuff. She's got some really good jams with her band, The Internet, also. The next album I want to talk about is Vince Staples, Ramona Park, Broke My Heart. I thought I had something pulled up already. I listened to this on the way down. And Vince Staples is one of those dudes, another one of those artists where, and I'm not that connected to music like I used to be. Like, I'll follow my favorite artist, and when they put something out, I automatically know about them. Like, you know, the one project I'm excited about is a new Toro y Moi joint called Mayhall, and obviously going to be listening to that when it drops, but a guy, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, it's harder. I've been saying this for a long time, and I don't play like my sports video games a lot anymore, and I just haven't been exposing myself to a lot of new music. But the stuff that I do listen to, you know, I enjoy. So when I found out that this was in the same batch, this came out the same week as Sid's album, Ramona Park Broke My Heart by Vince Staples. Another one, really good. This dude just is consistently good. He puts out good music. I was listening to an interview, watching an interview that he did with Complex, and he's just so like laid back and not, he doesn't seem to be affected by the trappings of fame. You know, he seems to be like a level-headed dude. He's like 28 years old, and he seems to have a good head on his shoulder, has his shit together. It's a good album. It's just like, again, just somebody just finds this tight pocket. It's very LA. Got a really good sound. I like it a lot. I like his other stuff. It's just like one of those people where it's like, oh yeah, this person, I do like this person's music. This guy's really good. This girl's really good. I'm just, what have I been doing? Why have I not been enjoying this person's stuff? Like, it's just very good, just very, very solid stuff. I really dig these two albums. LA based artist, Sid the Kid, I think she just goes by Sid now, Sid and Vince Staples. I don't think you can go wrong. So I gave you some R&B and hip hop. Patreon folks, you'll get a letterbox soon. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the show. I really appreciate you. Subscribe if you want. Write reviews. There are a few hundred of you that listen to this show, and there's only like 85 reviews or something like that. It would help the show if you just gave it 5 stars and said, I like it. This guy is pretty good. Give me 5 stars. Help the show out. 'Cause there are enough of you that like this show that can push it up the ranks and have more ears on it, because it's pretty good. I think I did some pretty good work here. I'm in my childhood basement. giving you a good quality podcast that's going to get you through your laundry. It's going to get you through your drive. It's going to get you through your commute. Whatever you're doing, it's going to get you through. There's a good back catalog of some really nice conversations that I have. More of them will be coming up. I just have to book and confirm those people. But pretty soon, I think you may get something from a person that you know and love, and so on and so forth. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great Easter, Passover, Ramadan, all that good stuff. NBA playoffs, yay. I guess I'll start caring when it gets to the quarterfinals. But at any rate, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.